Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in to the new PFF NFL Daily. Here's a recent snippet from the PFF NFL podcast.
Yeah, my big question is whether the Chiefs sort of stick with what they have done most of the season or if they do change it up and do something dramatically different. And in particular, what I mean by that is whether they stick to a man-heavy coverage type of system, right? The Kansas City Chiefs have run man coverage a lot this season. I think they're top five. But the 49ers have this absolute nightmare row of individual man cover beater playmakers, right? George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Kyle Juszczyk, Christian McCaffrey. Like we've talked all the way through the year, there's no team in the NFL that has all of those guys covered individually, right? Mm-hmm. A team like Baltimore was one that you think maybe they could do it. Kansas City's had some great performances on defense, but there's multiple players you would say probably don't match up well with their equivalent of that guy right now. George Kittle dealing with an injury, maybe he's not 100%. That would help. Christian McCaffrey's been banged up all the way through the playoffs, but he's been playing through it and hasn't shown any sort of impact because of it. Deebo Samuel gets the extra week of rest with his shoulder as well. So it's not like they're 100% healthy, but they seem healthy enough that they're all going to be playing, and that's probably an issue. We've also said one of Spagnuolo's sort of best traits, I think, is individual game plans. You know, coming in with an individual plan to stop a specific team. He's got 2 weeks to work on this 49ers problem. Does he come up with a completely different game plan specific to that to try and stop them? Or do they just rely on having the horses on defense to be able to match up in man coverage? And if so, how's that going to go?
Yeah, the other thing I've said about this Chiefs defense too is like they'll play that man coverage and everything, and they, I think, generally do a good job of taking away that intermediate 10 to 19 yard level, and they make you throw the ball underneath or throw the ball over the top. And when you throw the ball over the top and teams are playing, you know, physical press man like we saw against Tyreek Hill, there's not a lot of those opportunities for the, you know, receivers to get behind the defense. You might have a couple here and there. So I think the Niners have to find that balance of taking those shot plays, but I think it's going to be a lot of Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey in this game, both run game and through the air. I do think McCaffrey has that advantage against most linebackers in the NFL anyway, but Drew Tranquil, probably get Willie Gay back, who missed the AFC Championship, probably be out there. He's a very athletic linebacker in coverage, but I still like McCaffrey and the ability to move him around. I think it could be one of those games where he has those 6 to 8 catches, and it's not just check downs, it's those angle routes, it's him lined up out wide. And then Deebo, I think, just has to be special in this game. To me, that's the bottom line for the Niners, though. Not that Ayuk, Kittle, Deebo, and McCaffrey, they're not all going to light up the stat sheet. Not every last one of them. But when their time comes, right, when you have that right matchup, whether it's Kittle, whether it's Deebo, whether it's Ayuk, they have to make those plays. So at the end, if the Niners are going to win this game, we wake up Monday morning, head to the airport immediately because we got an early flight. We wake up Monday morning and we say, boy, the Niners were just too tough to cover.
No. We'll be doing that on Sunday night after the game.
We'll be saying it Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. I use a generic Monday morning. Yeah, so that is what the people do need to know. We will be going live right after the game. Mm-hmm. And then the storyline to keep an eye on this week is whether or not I'll get into the game. Yeah. It's a big story. You've got
Taylor Swift. Yeah.
You have me getting into the game. It's a big story.
Much like last year, the timing of that will be limited to how long it takes whoever's in the stadium to get their ass back from there to the hotel.
Correct.
Because that took a while last time.
So the other thing we're going to keep an eye on, if I don't get in, how many wings am I going to eat?
Yeah.
Last year, I think I ordered 40.
40? It was surely 50.
I may have gotten 50. This year, another year, new me.
Yeah.
We can do 75.
75.
Yeah, we can do 75 wings. Especially if you're at the game and you take a while to get back, you know.
Ample
more
opportunity.
Time. More time.
How many wings could you eat in a sitting?
It depends on the size of the wing, you know.
What? They're chicken. They're all like vaguely the same size.
No, because some places have those monster, you know, but like
a normal size like a chicken wing that everybody pictures when they say, how many wings could you eat?
I mean, I could do a normal size, good size, 50.
50. 50 is your, I feel like you
like got. Like I said, I used to go to this place in college that was 10-cent wings or whatever it was at the time, but they knew they were doing 10-cent wings, so they were like, they were mini. So I'd spend, what was it, $10 for 50? It was 5-cent wings, maybe. Whatever it was, 10-cent wings. Either way.
That doesn't make mathematical sense.
Was it? Maybe it was 25, whatever they were. I would eat 50 wings, though. I would get 50 every single time. Sometimes I got 10, you know, 10 more when I was done. But they were tiny. Okay. I forget what the price was. That's what's messing me up.
Right.
I just remember, like, dropping $10, be like, give me all the wings for $10 type of deal, you know? Give me all the stuff. And but they were tiny. Like, they knew they were set, you know, sending them out in bulk.
Yeah.
Some places, they're bigger. I don't know. I'm going to eat a lot this week.
There's all kinds of fancy Vegas watch parties I keep getting emailed about. You could go hit up one of those.
I haven't been emailed about any watch parties.
No?
You have a credential? You have a game invite and a watch party invite?
Well, like places like, you know, Circa with their giant stadium swim TV and stuff.
I do know the owner of Circa. I'm sure I could get some sort of hookup over
And you'll
there.
Need to, otherwise it's going to cost some money.
Yeah. I have to go talk to Derek over there. Anyway.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, the leader in fantasy sports, and they've just dropped a brand new fantasy app called Pick 6. Pick 6 is the newest way for you to get in on the fantasy football action with DraftKings. Just pick between 2 and 6 NFL players and choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more or less than 100 rushing yards, or will a player have more than 1 touchdown? Track your lineup and compete against others for a shot at huge cash prizes. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and sign up with code PFF. That's code PFF. Only on DraftKings. Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Valid only in states where DraftKings Pick 6 operates. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, please visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com.
Niners offense versus the Chiefs defense. Charles Omenihu's out. Remember, he got injured in the AFC Championship game. We thought that potentially, I remember at the time, they didn't think it was season ending, but it was. So Omenihu's out. That's a big loss. Joe Tooney should be back on the other side of the ball. But this Chiefs defensive line, I think the other thing here about the Niners, the grades have said all year, the pass blocking is not great in San Francisco other than Trent Williams. And you have Chris Jones, who we know will move around the formation. He'll go find Colt McKivitz on a few of those key downs. And it always seems to show up in these big games, whether it's a batted pass, a sack, whatever it might be. That is one place I think the Chiefs could have the advantage with their defensive line.
It really is. His ability to time that up is kind of insane. I mean, even
T.J. Wattish.
Think about the Ravens game where, remember, they were banked up in their own 1 yard line, Baltimore, and they went on that big drive that ended in the Lamar Jackson turnover. But the very first play of that drive, Chris Jones blasted his way through the middle of that offensive line, and only a blatant uncalled tripping penalty on the running back stopped him from creating like a safety immediately, right? That one play of the game. And that's the game right there. Like, if that's a safety and they kick the ball away back to Kansas City, that's game over. Like, Chris Jones timed that up and it didn't really get noticed because he got tripped and didn't get to make the play. But his ability to go, okay, right now is the highest leverage time, I need a sack, this is the play, I'm just going to wreck the game, is kind of crazy. Like, there aren't many defensive players that are able to do that. T.J. Watt, you mentioned, Aaron Donald did it in the Super Bowl, where he's like, right, that's it, no more.
Game over.
I'm going to make the plays and the game's done. I mean, Jones can genuinely do that. And, okay, losing Omenihu's a big loss because it's another player that can make those, not necessarily those plays, but impact plays. Karlaftis has definitely been better this year. That 49ers offensive line, we've been saying it all year long, it is a weakness on paper, and most teams haven't been able to turn it into a weakness in reality, like on the field. Chris Jones is the type of player that can do that. And also, it's been better through the playoffs in recent weeks, whatever. This is the type of defensive front that can sort of send it back to being where it was more of a weakness earlier in the year.
And then when I watch the Chiefs defense, I'm watching Spags call the game, and it just seems like he has a really good feel for when to send the extra rusher, when to speed up, heat up the quarterback, right? When to sit back and play coverage. And, you know, there was other issues with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, but you saw that level of indecision with Lamar Jackson. He would drop back, and there were so many plays where he would just try to buy time. The first read wasn't there. Second read wasn't there. Lamar was trying to, as he always does, go through his reads, go 1 to 2 to 3, and nothing was open. And whether that was, you know, they, you know, had too many pass blockers, they were ready for a pressure, and they, you know, the Chiefs dropped out, there was indecision in Lamar Jackson, and Spags seems to be really good at that. The other psychological aspect I'll add to this, Brock Purdy has started slow.
Yep.
The last 2 weeks. And we blamed the rain 2 weeks ago, but last week it happened as well in clear weather. And I always joke about the mid-90s Brett Favre games where John Madden would be calling a game. And he would just, like, chuckle because Brett Favre would always drop back and, like, throw his first pass into the third row. And Madden would be, oh, you know, Brett, he's always so fired up. You know, he's so excited, you know, and he misses his throw. And there was the psychological aspect of Brett needed to kind of settle in. I don't think Purdy can afford to do that in this game, in part because Kyle Shanahan's a great game planner, right? You always talk about that first 15 and you know, the beginning script. Purdy can't afford to miss those throws. And so he's started slow the last few weeks. Is that a nerves thing? Is it just getting settled into the game? I don't think Purdy can afford to do that this week.
No. I mean, whether it's starting slow or whether you simply characterize it as he hasn't played very well in the playoffs outside of right at the end of the game, you know, just enough to kind of pull it out of the fire, however you want to describe that dynamic, the point is I don't think he can have a game like that and win against the Chiefs. Like, you know, we're going to get onto Mahomes in a bit. Mahomes, as you said, the big difference between him in the postseason and him in the regular season is he just doesn't make mistakes, like almost none. It's insane, actually, the level of mistake-free football he's been playing in the postseason and generally for his career plays in the postseason. If he does that again in the Super Bowl and you get like the best version of Mahomes, you can't have Brock Purdy muddling his way through for two quarters and then trying to turn it on late in the game. It's not going to be enough. Like, they're already going to be out of sight. And you're unlikely to make that kind of comeback against the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Spagnuolo-coached type of team. It's not, I don't think it's going to happen. So if the 49ers want to win this game, that group of playmakers that we talked about before, they're going to need Brock Purdy to be the facilitator and to get them the ball and not screw it up.